Welcome to episode 3 of The Sad Bastards. Today we're going to be talking about regret and disappointment. Johnny. How did your first system die?
Well, my first system died largely through no fault of my own, through the fault of my friends. Now, I have a theory about this, that you don't ask your friends, especially when they're friends of you two. In that case, it was you. So I was happily listening to my system. I thought it was great. And then people come around, especially audiophile type people, not mentioning anyone SB1, and they start sitting there and go, oh, you know what?
This... Go on, use the word. It sounds interesting.
And in the back of my mind, I go, interesting? What does that mean? Is that interesting bad? Interesting good? And then I start obsessing about things, and because I'm slightly obsessive, I realized there must be a problem with this system. And that was enough to put me on the path. Go, well, really, someone doesn't think this is as good as it could be, or what's worse, as good as they've got. That's really annoying.
Right. So do you think it was your audiophile friends actually pointing out problems, or just trying to stir you, just trying to get you to spend more money, or a bit of both?
I think it was a bit of both, to be honest. Yeah.
Because what are friends for if they don't help each other spend money?
I can think of a lot of other things.
It's a key attribute of a sad bastard is enjoys other sad bastards spending money.
Unnecessarily.
Yeah. So.
Given that I just spent all the money I could afford on a new system, I really didn't want anyone telling me, mind you, it was the old Perot and all that kind of stuff, I didn't want anyone telling me that was...
How long did the first system last? Like, was it, you know, a couple of months and then your bastard friends kind of, you know, suggested, pointed out flaws? Or did it last a year or two, in which case I have a healthy respect for the restraint of your friends now?
No, I actually think it lasted about a year, I believe.
And did you have more money at that point? Or was it, you say you'd spent all the money that you had, but yeah, it sounds like you changed your system. So perhaps you didn't spend enough in the first place.
No, I don't really spend more than I could afford. What about USB3?
Well, so my first system became inadequate, not anything to do with audiophile friends. I managed to get, I'm dissatisfied with it all on my own. There's a bit of a story. So my stepfather was an audiophile, and he was the person who kind of got me into it. And he knew the famous Australian speaker designer, Colin Whatmore, who has sadly passed, maker of very fine speakers. And Colin and he designed massive floor standard speaker that my stepfather made. So Colin designed it. My stepfather did all the cabinetry, put everything together. And when I heard these speakers, I was like, oh my God, this is what hi-fi can sound like. They just blew me away. And it was not an audiophile friend that said to me, you know, there's this little bit of sound that I'm not satisfied with. It was that I just heard something that was so much better. And that was my start of being dissatisfied with what I had. So for me, it was really hearing what that next level could do.
I heard that you had size envy because... You had the tiny Sonos Favors, but you saw these big Whatmores, and you were envious.
I was envious, yeah.
Of their massive,
yeah,
full erect size.
Why is that even funny? I don't know why that's funny.
What about you, Banana One?
With my first system, I realized pretty soon that there was better out there. So I'd gone to shops. I knew people who worked at hi-fi shops, and some of my friends, none of which are with me here tonight.
Were your only friends?
You are my only friends. There was a discussion around listening to good hi-fi gear that other people had. You know, I walked into a friend's house and her father had a B&O top of the line system. You like it or you don't like it, but it was better than what I had. Or I go to my friend's house and he's been working for 10 years and he had the massive Yamaha NS1000s. All right, so there was always a step up. Can't remember why. I think my system just got taken by someone who I was living with, and then I needed to buy a new system.
If your system hadn't disappeared, do you think you would have changed, or what do you think would have happened?
Think it would have taken longer to trigger, and I would have probably started to replace a CD player, which was starting to age, perhaps. Technology was moving quickly. Then I would have got bigger speakers, and then I would have got a bigger amp, and then the merry-go-round would have started and continued. But as it was, I had a trigger and I had a catalyst to change.
Everyone has a different motivation, but the outcome, it kind of all is always the same. Whatever your motivation is, you end up going, I'm not quite happy with that sound. I'm going to go off and change my amplifier because of something. I found something better, something bigger, and everyone gets onto this loop about changing stuff. And I think it's very, very hard to get off.
So I think we've covered a few different reasons for getting the upgrade itch or being unsatisfied, dissatisfied with our system. So for me, it was hearing something significantly better. For John, it was listening to his so-called buddies.
And
Never
I had
again.
a hi-fi divorce, so there you go. I had to go buy another hi-fi. So when you get to a point where you have to make a change, we've just outlined some of the triggers and what we did, but what's the one bit of pearl audio wisdom that you would give?
I'm going to go first here. Divorce your friends. Don't
Okay.
let them need you. It's cheaper, you're happier, you never have to change.
Are you actually happier?
Yes, I would be, yes. Lots of
Yeah.
pearls of wisdom here that we can offer to people who are in that sort of cycle. They've got their first system. Oh, yeah, the sun's just not quite right. What's the next logical step?
Just give up. You just know it's a money pit and just go with it. Because, the pursuit, the journey is,
Okay.
you'll never get there. You might as well enjoy it and you might as well spend as
Nah.
much money as you can.
Oh,
Is that wrong?
well, I think you could focus on your social life. Get out a bit more.
Get out a bit
No,
more.
don't be daft. We're sad bastards. My advice would be accept the obsession, embrace it, and just make sure that every part of your life is aligned with your ability to be an audio sad bastard. So,
That's kind of what I
You
said,
can't
wasn't it?
say
I think.
that. You can, because what you do then is you embrace and say, it is okay to lust after amplifiers.
For other people, they've got their first system, they're now saying, okay, I need to change something. What should they be looking to? What analysis should they be doing such that they can make an informed decision about how to change? If they're going to change, how should they change?
You've got to spend more money to improve your system, but what direction should you do? How do you go about doing it? You don't just walk into a shop and say, here's a wad of cash, give me a system. There's a bit more to it, isn't there? So I would say listen to systems that you could never afford, just so that you know what really good sounds like, so you can be unhappy all of the time. Go to hi-fi shows.
Can I pick you up on that last point? I don't think listening to super duper amazing unobtainable systems will do your life and your happiness any good.
This isn't about happiness.
This is a bit of perpetual misery, to be
Yeah. So
honest.
I'm trying to give a positive spin. Embrace it and adapt it, but don't go outside the bound of what you can't do. Okay, you're saying listen to the top end hi-fi and be miserable for 30 years until
No,
you can vaguely afford it.
that's not what I'm saying at all.
Oh,
No.
that's what I
Actually,
heard.
it is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's exactly
No,
right.
what I'm saying is that in order to, you've got to have a target in mind, or maybe you should have a target in mind. So I want to get a sound that is like this. Somewhere along that, you need to hear systems that are quite a lot better than what
And
you have.
spend a lot of money.
And spend a lot of money. Spend
Could
more money than you thought you were going to.
I?
If I was going to make a recommendation, I would say look at your system and see whether it's well balanced. So, SB3, Trev, you thought that your amp was underpowered.
It looked good though.
Looks fucking great, honestly.
You never saw it, but it looked good. Actually, no, you
No,
did see
there's
it.
a sale of
Of
stuff,
course you saw it.
So, I would go first, I'd do an analysis of the system, go, is there a weak point? If there is a weak point, think about changing that. If there isn't an obvious one, change your speakers.
Okay. I agree. As a path forward for a general improvement, it's great. I'm going to throw something contentious with. I've seen some...
Have you mentioned cables here?
No, it's not going to be cables. I've seen some sad bastards, potential sad bastards, but they actually chose EPOS ES14 speakers. I sold him my Copeland CSA 1614 amp.
Yeah, nice.
Hybrid amp, really lovely amp.
Lovely amp.
And he bought a Product turntable.
Good. All good. Great donation.
So, okay. He is not going to change. He can afford it. He would recognize that there's an improvement. But his view is, I'm very happy with what I've got. I love it. And I buy more and more and more and more music. So his view is, I'm not going to go down that path. My enjoyment as a sad bastard is in the media, the vinyl, and I will not go higher, even though I appreciate that when he comes around and listens to a better system, he goes, it's really tight, it's great, it's fantastic, goes home and loves listening to music because he's got a lot of it.
So that's the logical, sensible thing to do.
No, but that's what he's done. Right? So advice, one advice, I think that's a good piece of advice as opposed to...
Yeah, but that excludes you from being a sad bastard by definition.
What, if you buy lots sensible, of vinyl logical records and spend all your time obsessing about vinyl, I think that's another form of sad bastard.
Different form of sad bastardry. Yeah, I think so. My final comment, kind of wrapping up the nonsense that I'm talking, is that you need to be aware of your own drivers and your own personality. Yeah. And, you know, what is it that's going to make you happy? Is it collecting vinyl? Is it getting new gear? Go for it.
One thing I did learn, without mentioning local hi-fi stores, but there's some which are out there just to sell kit. There's other ones there who really do give informed decisions. Mm. And our local one, the information that we've got from them has been really good. So yeah, I would suggest that if you're looking to upgrade your system, you've identified what part needs to be upgraded, go find someone you really trust in a hi-fi store, a good store, and have a chat to them. You know, play stuff. Play around with music, play around with gear like yours, and see where that leads you, because a good store should send you in the right direction. Now, when I'm talking about amps and speakers, if I want a better amp or a better speaker, I know I have to spend more money. So maybe this is one of the learnings. So once you start tweaking, invariably, to go up the quality stack, you're going up the cost stack.
The diminishing return cost stack.
And right. That's just the way it is. There's no unicorns out there.
Mm. No, I'm not sure I entirely agree with that, I have to say. Some of the most amazing systems I've heard, and we're sort of going tweaking DIY type stuff, and that's a different world. Some of the most amazing systems I've heard have not cost very much at all. Yeah. But the amount of care that's gone into them, and this is probably a topic for another conversation, there's the setup... And the room and basically every single bit of the chain has had an amazing amount of detail, attention paid to detail.
Even the wire between two components.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, whether or not that makes a difference, I don't know. But I think that going with that almost obsessive attention to detail goes the setup of the system, and I think that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, actually, maybe that's the other thing we haven't mentioned. We've talked a lot about the stereo, but the room has such a big impact. So in my listening environment, which is a cube, the bass nodes that are ridiculous, and there's nothing I can do about it. Nothing.
Well, you could.
Get a bigger room.
Bigger room. Get a bigger house.
Yeah, that's a seriously expensive upgrade cost. But
If I was serious.
But I think if you're gonna upgrade, you really need to consider your listening environment as well.
He's not really serious, is he?
He's not really serious. I don't think he's very serious. But he makes a good point for some people who are really serious, and it's pretty prosaic, but putting in room treatment, if you can, will make a massive difference. It's not as sexy as buying a fancy valve amp.
Buy a lot of egg cartons and just glue them to your walls.
Excellent. What about just chickens?
Feathered chickens. Pillows.
It's a combination. Yeah.
Chickens.
It's a group effort.
Yeah.
So you're generally unhappy with your system. We've talked a little bit about what triggers, what to do next. But I guess... if you could just change one thing, what should you change? Should it be the thing you're unhappiest with, the thing that costs the least? What's your approach?
Well, I think that we should leave that to next episode.
So, dear listeners, go to 3sadbastards.com for a bit more detail on what we talked about, some links, some commentary, or whatever else you want to see. It'll be there, guaranteed. And see you next time.
That's number three, sadbastards.com.
You can do it any way you want. THREE, sadbastards.com, or the numeral 3sadbastards.com.
And next week we'll be talking about if we could change just one thing.
Get rid of SB1.
See you next week.